It will be a difficult day for our neighbors in Oxford, as maybe as many as 40 of them make their victim impact statements at the sentencing of the young shooter who just left so much wreckage in his wake on November 30th, 2021. We talked a little bit about how we would approach this and whether we could make a statement, whether we had the capacity to maintain our composure. But what are the legal issues that the judge in this case, Judge Roe, must consider? Todd Flood is a good friend, attorney, managing partner at Flood Law, and has given us so much guidance through this very difficult process. It's going to be a painful day, Todd. Good morning.
Good morning. It is. I spoke with my client, Aiden Watson, last night, who's going to be speaking this morning, who was a victim of the shooter who was shot. It's going to be a tough day. There's no question about it. For the parents, for everybody, for everyone in Oxford, it's going to be a tough day.
Judge Kwame Roe has, a number of issues to weigh as the judge in this case, sure. But is the capacity for this young man's rehabilitation, is that the biggest thing that he must consider?
That is. Whether or not there is some morsel that he can be rehabilitated to turn his life around within some sort of treatment in prison or otherwise. And I think, candidly, everything that the experts put on the table for Judge Roe, those possibilities have been dispelled. So, we'll hear, and this is going to be the day that Crumbly can speak himself and actually speak to the judge and see if he can turn the judge into giving him a sentence of a term of years of 25 to 40 years in prison.
Todd, do they look at, a statement that the shooter might read so they know what he's going to say? Or are they just going to let him say whatever he wants? Because that would be very hurtful to the people in that room.
Yeah, the judge can shut him down. Judge can shut him down if it gets to that extent. The judge is not, he doesn't have to present a written statement, to anybody. He goes over that with his lawyers. His lawyers are going to talk to him about what it is he should say and shouldn't say. So, but that's not going to be telegraphed to the judge. It's going to be live.
Todd, it's Marie Osborne. They're letting me sit in this morning, but I have a question for you. Hi, I have a question for you that I think a lot of our listeners might be wondering about, because we've seen these victim impact statements before, and most notably, of course, in the MSU case with Larry Nassar. That was, heart-wrenching and went on for days. So the judge in this case has already made up his mind if whether this is going to be life without parole or life with the possibility of parole. So all of this, the victim statements and the defendant here making this statement, does that just make any difference at all?
Well, we have a constitutional right. Does it make a difference? Not necessarily. The judge is probably, you're right, Marie, has already made up his mind. Unless someone came out and said, judge of one of the victim's families, that surprised everybody. Maybe it sways, the judge to find mercy, but I doubt it very seriously. Knowing everybody or listening to all the attorneys that I'm part of with the group, I don't see that happening. But the Victims' Rights Act is in our Constitution, and it is, as we saw in Nassar, went on for days, right? But they have that constitutional right as a victim to speak at this part of the process, to give the judge, the impact that it had on their lives, their family's lives. And listening to Aiden last night, who I love his kid, he has gone through, his family has gone through so much. The trajectory of his life has changed for this time, but knowing his resilience, knowing the power of his family, Linda and Jared and his brother and sister, I have great hope that, you know, they heal. But Oxford is just, it's a tough place right now to be.
And we keep reopening wounds with the process, maybe some of it necessarily. Do you think, and is it in your experience, Todd, that this is somewhat cathartic and a healing process? And are they getting the help that they need? You know, that was part of the pledge coming out of this.
You hit on two main topics. I work with several trauma therapists for cases, and Bethany Atwell is one of the best in our state. And Beth has oftentimes said, and I have learned, that it is cathartic. It does bring closure to get to the next stage, the next phase, whatever that healing process is. And this is a big part of that, to that cathartic, you know, healing. Do they get the treatment? That's a big question. My clients are paying for it out of their own pocket. So it's not necessarily coming from the school district. It's not coming from the state. It's coming from their own pocket. But it's a long journey in this, especially since, you know, they got a double whammy. They had a son at Michigan State that when the active shooter took place up there too. So
good Lord.
They've been through a lot. So I don't think we provide. I know we don't provide, and it's not a think. I know we don't provide enough trauma experts and therapy experts to these families, to these people that they need. In the state of Michigan, woefully from a long time ago, we kind of ended a lot of programs. Especially when we shut down the Lafayette Clinic, you know, I mean, that was the start of it, right? But we shut down a lot of programs, and we need those experts in that field.
Well, we know that during this process, Todd, we heard a lot of concern about the shooter's mental well-being. I would hope that just as much oxygen would be consumed about the victim's well-being going forward and
Amen. The
years that they will need, Todd. Thank you for helping, and the best to your clients this morning.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.